This is Roro's Rantings with Israel activist and advocate Rolien Marx.
Boker Tov, Rolien, how are you?
Boker Tov. Well, I tell you, have you seen the size of the guys that toss their caber?
I know.
They are the size, I'm telling you, of oak trees. I mean, it's not a sport that somebody like me can partake in because I can barely fling a twig. But the size of these guys, they grow them big in the Highlands. What can I say? I mean, if you're going to toss your caper, you might as well be the size of a competing tree.
Rolien Marx, let's talk some news. There are protests calling for Netanyahu to resign. This has been an ongoing story, hasn't it?
Well, this is resigning for different reasons. This has probably been one of the most harrowing and difficult weeks in a long time for the state of Israel, with the amount of terror attacks that we have endured this week, including the death of two soldiers yesterday, Yosef Moore and Yuval Cohen, and the death of baby Amiyad Yisrael. It's been a week of a tremendous, tremendous sorrow. And last night, about 1,000 people took to the streets to protest outside Prime Minister Netanyahu's residence, calling for his immediate resignation. They say that the government is not doing enough as far as their response to terror is concerned. And they're saying that the army is kept on too much of a leash. There is too much restriction. And they're saying, Bibi, resign. You are not wanted anymore. And this comes as there are calls for Bibi's resignation due to investigations by the police. But I tell you, he's the Teflon king of politics, Netanyahu, because you can't seem to be able to budge him. But it is expected that these kind of protests are going to continue until something more stringent is done to curb this wave of terror.
Well, I'm sure that that's not going to go away soon. Well, the story anyway, calling for Netanyahu to resign. What's your thought on it, Rolien?
Look, I think that Israel is long overdue some fresh perspective and perhaps some new blood, so to speak. You know, I hate to use that terminology. I think also what concerns a lot of people, myself included, is that the Prime Minister holds too many portfolios, and this makes a lot of us very uncomfortable. We see it as maybe not being very, very democratic. You know, he holds now the portfolio of Defense Minister as well. He hasn't given that over to anybody else since Avigdor Lieberman's resignation. He did say at the time that he would be handing over the Foreign Ministry portfolio. He hasn't done that either. And a lot of us are very uncomfortable with the fact that he holds the Prime Ministership, the Defense Ministership, the Foreign Minister portfolio, and several other more minor tafkidim. But, you know, we want to see more democratic process. And there is a lot of concerns that the way things are going, that this country could swing more to the right. And politicians like Naftali Bennett of Habayit Yehudi and Avigdor Lieberman of Yisrael Biteinu are using this opportunity to try and garner more support, and using this opportunity to bolster their political parties to try and push for change. But I tell you, you can't seem to budge Netanyahu. There's several potential investigations against him, as well as issues within his own party. But the Prime Minister is still standing there. But this, how he handles terrorism, how he handles the situation with Gaza and Hamas, this is going to be the true test of whether or not Prime Minister Netanyahu can go another term.
You know, I think it also becomes a question of succession. It's all very well wanting to get rid of somebody, but who would replace him?
Well, this is it. This is the million shekel question. And one of the problems here is that there hasn't seemed to be much will to create succession, well, at least not in his party. There is a lot of debate who could possibly succeed Netanyahu. And the one thing that you do have to give the Prime Minister is that nobody can speak quite like he can. He is an incredibly charismatic man. He speaks a perfect English, which, believe it or not, counts for a lot when it comes to the elections. And the one thing that does seem to sway popularity in his direction is that he is very, very unapologetic for defending the state of Israel. He's seen as a very strong leader from that perspective. From a domestic perspective, there's a lot of dissatisfaction with the way that he conducts himself, or that he responds to several stringent or security issues. And the issue now is succession. Could there be somebody from the Zionist Union? Nobody from that party seems to be strong enough. That's the official opposition. Could it be somebody like Yair Lapid? You know, still not strong enough a leader. Some people have a lot of trouble separating the journalist from the politician still. Who is the strong enough candidate to take on somebody like Netanyahu? Naftali Bennett, excuse me, not so popular amongst many because he's seen as too right-wing or behaving like a petulant child when he doesn't get his way. So a very, very difficult one, which is why politics in Israel is never easy but always entertaining.
Yeah. Another story I want to just check with you. Australia may recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital on Saturday. Now, this is a crazy story because just a few days ago I saw that there was something with Austria. Now, is it a case of people confusing Austria and Australia?
We've had this before, haven't we?
No. They're not confusing Austria and Australia, unless Canberra all of a sudden relocated to Austria and it's their capital. But we have heard from officials in Canberra, which is the capital of Australia, not Sydney or Melbourne, everybody. That's the capital of expat South Africans. But officials in Canberra have said that they expect the Prime Minister, who's the leader of the Liberal Party, Scott Morrison, that he will probably announce that he recognizes Jerusalem as Israel's capital on Saturday, which is tomorrow. It's very, very strange that he would do that on Shabbat. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Very interesting.
But there have been comments as well that some events could alter the plans. We don't know what these events are.
So why mention the plans? That's what I don't understand. Firstly, how is this a news story? And I'm just asking a general question. How is this a news story if it hasn't actually happened? Surely it only becomes a news story once it happens.
No, I have to disagree there. I think it is very, very much a news story because recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital is a very, very controversial subject. We saw what happened when U.S. Prime Minister Donald Trump recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital and all the controversy and fallout with that, although the fallout wasn't as big as we expected. But Australia has issued a warning, especially to citizens who are traveling in Indonesia, just to be very, very careful ahead of the expected announcement by the Prime Minister. And also, we have to remember that Australia is a major trade and a major bilateral partner of the state of Israel.
I understand that it's important, but why?
It is a big Western country, and a statement like this is hugely newsworthy.
I get that, but what I'm saying, and I'm actually going to bring Tanya Curry in on this, because Tanya actually has a media agency, and you know, if it's not, when does news become news to you?
I think the worrying thing about this particular story is it's not new. It's not an action that's happened.
And it can change.
And it can change. If it does happen, it will be a very big news story and it will cause trouble. And I think that preempting the story before it even happens is just creating more chaos than it should. And it may not even transpire.
Yeah.
And that's a worry. It's a worry. Look, I get
that. Well, I think also you guys see things from the South African perspective, and fair enough. We see it from the Israeli perspective, and from an Israeli perspective, this is huge news.
This is very, very, very
important to the country in terms of where we sit within the international community, and in terms of being the only country in the world whose capital is up for debate and discussion.
No, that is
any
that is
other
quite
country
bizarre.
Can announce that, their capital, and nobody will say a thing. When it comes to Israel announcing our capital or having our capital recognized as such, is hugely newsworthy. So I think we also have to take into account where Israel sits in the world and the dynamic of global politics, and from our perspective and where we sit in the region as well.
I hear it. All right, very very quickly, Rolene, can we talk about Nick Cave? Who's Nick Cave?
Oh, and the bad.
How do you not know
Nick Cave and Bad Seeds? What about Nick Cave? Love him.
Go immediately and research Nick Cave and listen to his music. This is absolutely unacceptable.
Australian
music
can be very nice.
Well, he is Australian, by the way.
Yes,
he
funny
once,
that.
He once recorded a duet with Kylie Minogue on an album called Murder Ballads, which you couldn't put two more divergent artists together. But anyway, it was fabulous. But Nick Cave, who has performed several times in Israel, has come out in a letter to his idol, Brian Eno, who is a super producer, giving him the right royal smackdown about supporting boycotts of Israel. And Nick Cave says, you know, Israel is a robust democracy. And he believes that boycotts of Israel and the BDS movement is inherently anti-Semitic. And he's challenged Ryan Eno and other artists that if you're going to support these boycotts, why don't you go to Israel, see for yourself the situation on the ground. You don't have to support the government, but you have to understand the real politic. You have to understand the Israeli people, and this is not the way to do it. And there's ways to perform, and there's ways to contribute to peace that are more about discourse and discussion and bridge building. And one of the things he does is proceeds from his concerts he gives to projects that benefit both Palestinians and Israelis, as does Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull and other artists as well. But Nick Cave delivering a right Nick Cave type smackdown, saying if you're going to support BDS, you are supporting anti-Semitism.
And that's where we leave it, Rolene Marks. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, and I'll speak to you next Friday. On Monday, you're going to be speaking to Paul on the afternoon.
Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Shalom. Please, God, a peaceful weekend.